today's news.
Hello again, and welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at news of today through the papers of yesterday. There's nothing new under the sun, you know. Storms. Well, we're in that season, aren't we, of late? Storm Debbie been with us recently, and you could be forgiven for thinking it's a relatively recent phenomenon, having such violent and sometimes destructive storms. But no, it's not the case particularly, or so it seems at least. The Isle of Man Examiner, Saturday, December the 3rd, 1881. The storm is the heading. Destruction of property. On Sunday, the storm, or rather the succession of storms, with which we have been recently visited, ringing bells already, appeared to reach its height. Early in the morning, the wind was strong, but towards the afternoon, it commenced to blow with hurricane violence. On the brow of the hill, just below the head hotel, not far from Max Radio, I feel, it was impossible to maintain a footing for an instant, and the spray from the waves breaking on the rocks below was thrown into the air to a height of considerably over 100 feet. The direction of the wind, south-southwesterly by south, prevented the heavy seas from rolling into the harbour, but along the north side of the bay, and as far south as the old promenade, the sight was a grand one, and brought forth hundreds of persons to witness it. A lad was carried out by a receding wave opposite the iron pier, but was fortunate enough to catch hold of a crossbar underneath that structure and was rescued from his perilous position by the bystanders. At the Queen Victoria Pier, a man was nearly carried off to sea in a small boat, but was fortunately seen in sufficient time to permit of his rescue from what would have been certain death. If we skip forward a little bit to the storm reported in the Mona's Herald of Wednesday, February the 23rd, 1916. The storm which swept the island last week, culminating in the terrific gale of Tuesday evening, was one of unparalleled severity, surpassing in violence the hurricane of December 1909, when the Allan Vannon went down with all hands. On Wednesday morning, the storm showed no signs of abatement. But in spite of this, the steamer Douglas left the pier at 9 o'clock, as usual. I can hear the sucking of teeth and tut-tutting as we speak. Captain Brideson was in charge and for over an hour kept his vessel on her way, although the seas were getting heavier and heavier as the shelter of the land was left behind. Huge seas broke over the stern of the vessel again and again, flooding the alleyways and making it impossible for the crew to move about on the decks. As the storm seemed to increase in violence, and knowing that if he continued his journey, it would mean crossing the bar at about half ebb tide, when the tide meeting the high wind would make that part of the voyage practically unsafe, apparently the rest was perfectly okay, Captain Brideson decided not to proceed any further. The critical feat of turning the vessel was accomplished with consummate skill, and the Douglas reached the Victoria Pier at 11:15 a.m. The weather moderated a little in the afternoon, and the Douglas left the pier again at 3 o'clock, reaching Liverpool around 11 o'clock at night. I bet they were happy passengers. The storm raged just as furiously in Liverpool, and the Timbald lay in the river all night, leaving in the early hours of the morning and arriving in Douglas at 12:30 noon on Thursday. Telegraph wires to Liverpool were down, but were got going again around 3 o'clock, the service being completed a few hours later. And the trawler St. Patrick got into Douglas early on Thursday after weathering the full force of the storm for 2 days. She had her foresail blown away and some of her deckhouses washed away. That must have been a terrifying experience for the fishermen. In the Isle of Man Examiner of Friday, June the 26th, 1936, a summer storm, including what appears to be a form of ball lightning. Electric storm, hotel struck by lightning, we're told. Balls of fire in thunder barrage, telephones out of order. Described by many as the worst in living memory, an electric storm of terrifying intensity caused great alarm in the south of the island on Sunday evening. Following an almost complete blackout shortly after 8 o'clock, the storm broke in a barrage of thunder that continued without a break for an hour, whilst intermittently the sky was illuminated by flash upon flash of both forked and sheet lightning. In the height of the storm, one of the corners of Bellevue Hotel Port Erin was struck by lightning, and one side stripped of slates, telephones were made useless, and a ball of fire were seen to shoot into the sea at Fort Ireland. Captain Higgins had an alarming experience in flying a West Coast Air Service plane in the storm. It goes on to say an alarming thunderstorm accompanied by vivid lightning visited the island on Sunday evening, and day was quickly turned into night as the sky experienced a complete blackout and lights had to be switched on before 8 o'clock, and then the storm broke with a number of thunder cracks that developed into a continuous, nerve-wracking barrage that lasted for around an hour. The guests staying at Bellevue Hotel were just finishing dinner when the building was struck by lightning, and while the shock was felt, few of the diners realised it was the hotel itself that had been struck. However, under a separate heading saying a blinding flash, one of the visitors staying at the hotel told an Examiner reporter on Monday she was aware that the hotel had been struck immediately. "I was looking out of the window," she said, "when there was a terrible blinding flash and a streak of lightning seemed to come right at the hotel." Another guest said she saw what appeared to be a ball of fire strike the ground on Bradder Head. On Monday, many business people in the district found their telephones dead, apparently fused by the lightning. And then there's more on the ball of fire. An amazing phenomenon was seen in Derby Haven, where a ball of fire dived into the sea off Fort Ireland. Residents in the district said it landed as electric sparks were thrown up, making it apparent that part of it had struck the rocks. There was a vivid flash that lit up the whole countryside. Here too, the elements raged with terrible fury, and three cows were killed by lightning in Silverdale Glen. Meanwhile, the aforementioned Captain Higgins, made of stoic stuff, it has to be said, and this was before, you note, World War II. Captain Higgins was piloting a West Coast Air Services plane from the mainland to Ronaldsway at the height of the storm. He said that the heavens were illuminated by an amazing electrical disturbance. Instead of flying through the storm, he went around it and landed his plane at Ramsey. Earlier in the day, Captain Higgins encountered another electrical storm, which tossed the machine about so that at times it was completely out of control. The passengers aboard the machine showed little alarm when they landed at Ronaldsway after their unique experience. That's one way of putting it. Just another flight, it seems. The Peel City Guardian of Saturday, December the 1st, 1928, also reflects on a storm under the simple heading, "The Storm." A violent storm occurred during last weekend, which was of unusual violence. The storm commenced at noon on Friday week, when there was a strong westerly gale, and the SS Mona, which had left Liverpool for Douglas, ran into the gale just when crossing the bar, and from there on the vessel had a very heavy passage and did not arrive in Douglas until 6:50 p.m, 8 hour crossing. The storm continued on Saturday, and the Russian Castle was unable to leave Liverpool until 8:30 p.m. in the evening, arriving in Douglas at 1:30 a.m, and the crossing was a bad one. The wind increased again on Sunday when it blew from the northwest, and there were heavy seas breaking over the promenade. Despite the violence of the storm, the damage in and about Peel was comparatively small, the principal damage being to chimney pots and roofs. There was, however, one serious accident during the gale. This occurred on Sunday morning, and Mr. R. Kelly of Patrick was the victim. He was returning home with the milk float and had reached the entrance to St. German's Place, when during a violent gust of wind, the horse shied at something and the driver was thrown out of the float. He was picked up and taken into Mrs. Cowley's, 44 Glenfaber Road, if you're interested, where first aid was rendered by P.C. Bell until the arrival of Dr. Longson. He was found to be suffering from severe shock and a bruised left thigh, and was later removed to his home. He is progressing, we are happy to hear, satisfactorily. And finally, storm warning. The advertisers never miss a trick. Even in 1887, where this advert appeared in the Isle of Man Times of Saturday, November the 5th. Storm warning! A severe storm may be expected every day of the week in all domestic circles where Hudson's extract of soap is not in regular daily use. A penny packet will prevent it. Quick, safe, and leaves no smell. Safeguards for health, sanitary importance of washing at home, this can be done with ease and economy, and the clothes made beautifully sweet, wholesome, lily white, and fresh as sea breezes by using Hudson's extract of soap, avoiding all risk of contagion with infected clothes at laundries or where the washing is put out. No fraying of the clothes, as hard rubbing, scrubbing, bruising, and constraining is unnecessary, or rotting of the clothes, as when bleaching chemicals are used. The dirt slips away, and wear and tear, labour and fuel are saved. Hudson's extract of soap is pure dry soap in fine powder, rapidly soluble, lathers freely, softens water. A perfect hard water soap, a cold water soap, a soft water soap, a hot water soap, unrivalled as a purifying agent, sold everywhere, in packets, one penny and upwards. The forerunner of Omo, perhaps. Or is that Ariel? It's a wonderful product and avoids the storms. That's about it, whether using soap, flying through a storm, a 10 or 11 hour crossing on the seas, or out fishing. Storms in the Isle of Man, it seems, are nothing new. We'll see you next week. Until then, cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.